Privilege to meet once with our dear saints at Mount Pleasant. It is an honor and a joy and a responsibility that I do not take lightly and for granted. I'm always humbled and honored to be thought of to preach God's word. And it is certainly a joy and a blessing once again to be here with you all. Well, I don't have a specific time, so I'm going to go ahead and shoot for like 45 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be under that. No problem. But nobody like flinched at all. Not even the other preachers. So that was really, really cool because they're thinking he goes 45. I can go 45. So anyway, we'll not do that to you this morning, but we'd like to invite your attention over to the book of 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21, and shall we stand as I read to you the Word of God? 1 Kings chapter 21, I will read the first four verses. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came unto his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. We'll stop there, and shall we look to our Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, mercy and grace and watch care over us. We thank you, our Father, for the privilege that we have to come into the house of the Lord on a Saturday. And it is such a joy to see so many brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, it is good to be able to sing and to worship and to fellowship. And we thank you for these opportunities and these privileges. Father, I ask that you would be with me this morning as thy servant. May you give me liberty and ability to present thy word in truth and in love. Father, I ask that you would be with the other brethren as they'll be speaking later this morning, that you would give them the words that we stand in need of. And Father, if it be thy will, if there are any lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ, that this would be the day of salvation. Father, I ask that you'd forgive us of our sins. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to preach to you on the subject, not for sale. Not for sale. Now, as I get started, I was reminded as the Lord gave me this message and the title of a song by Michael Combs. If any of you are Southern Gospel listeners, you might know of Michael Combs. Either you like him or you don't. There's no in-between with him. But he wrote a song of the same title, Not For Sale, and I want to read to you those lyrics, and then we'll get started with the message this morning. What happened to that preacher who used to preach so strong? What happened to that singer who used to sing our song? Well, the preacher's outselling Amway. The singer's now singing country. They sold out what is right for what is wrong. What happened to that church that used to be on fire? What happened to the voices that sang in the heavenly choir? Oh, the church has now grown dead and cold. The choir is silent because nobody goes. They sold out to the world and their own desires. This heart belongs to Jesus, because he saved my soul from hell. This heart belongs to Jesus. This heart is not for sale. Well, a man from California called a few months ago. He said, "Boy, with your talent, we can make a lot of dough." I said, "Thanks for the offer. It all sounds swell, but I belong to Jesus, and I am not for sale." Well, if you're living for Jesus, friend, there'll come a day. That old devil's going to try to get you some way. He'll try you and tempt you with his lies straight from hell. Just say, "I belong to Jesus, and devil, I'm not for sale. I belong to the Lamb of God. He purchased me with his precious blood. I don't need popularity. I'd rather have what he gave to me. I belong to the King of Kings. He's my hope. He's my joy. He's my everything. I belong to the Lord God Almighty. I belong to the one who gave his life for me, not for sale." So it got me thinking about this text here in 1 Kings 21 as we talk about a man named Naboth. Our passage here introduces us to this man who refused to sell out. Naboth, whose name means fruit, lived in Jezreel. We saw that Naboth owned a vineyard that was situated or sat beside, or at least in close proximity to the palace of the king, King Ahab. In verses 1 and 2, it tells us that Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he offered to trade him for it. Said, "I'll give you a better vineyard." He said, "I'll give you a sum of money for this vineyard." And while that seemed like a reasonable offer for Naboth on the surface, Naboth refused the king's offer. Beloved, in our daily lives, we are faced with not-for-sale choices that could ultimately affect the rest of our lives. The choices you make in your friends, in your music, in your clothing, in your reading material, in your internet browsing, in your text messaging. This is not my cover. This is my wife's cover. Just
thought I'd throw that out. I'm like, boy, what a choice I made, huh?
Woo! Okay, coming back. Right? But the choices we make, these things could change the course of our life. The decisions about alcohol and drugs and sex, these things that will change the nature of our lives, your spiritual decisions are of critical importance. Beloved, it's easy to sell out. I don't care if you're young, old. Apparently I'm the youngest preacher because I'm first. I can't wait to see who goes next because I'm really going back and forth between Brother Holbrook and Brother Short. So that was kind of the order, so now you all know. So it don't matter if you're a young child, middle-aged, older, right? It's easy to let the godly values that have been left behind slip. But I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning, saved by the grace of God, you are a child of the King. And you tell that devil, as the song said, you're not for sale. You're not going to sell out. You see? Let us learn here from Naboth. We're going to look at Naboth and his obligations. We will see Naboth and his opportunities. And then this morning we will see Naboth and his obedience. Let's look again, first of all, at Naboth and his obligation. Naboth had a possession that we see here in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. We are told that Naboth had a vineyard. This vineyard, as we read in the text, had been passed down to Naboth by his fathers. Most likely has been in his family since Israel had been given possession of the promised land. It's been a while since this vineyard, since this property that Naboth was taking care of, had been in his family. It was a prime piece of real estate, obviously. Otherwise, the king would have no interest in it. It was obviously well taken care of. Otherwise, again, the king, who could pick any land he wanted, would have no interest in Naboth's vineyard. The king of Israel, again, had a palace next door. So we know the neighborhood was probably pretty good, pretty well kept, right? The king would have kept up the area very well. Now, a lot of times when we're preaching, we don't know when the preacher's about to give the spiritual application. Spiritual application, here it comes. I'm just going to tell you. So here it is, right? Spiritual application, just so you know, you and I have a vineyard. You and I have been given a wonderful inheritance by those who have gone on before us. Amen? We have a beautiful and wonderful inheritance. Even of those that I would say in this place today, and I'll be careful, that are older than I am, we'll say that, have left us a beautiful, wonderful spiritual inheritance. This church, the Lord's church, has been given to us. It's a prime real estate. You see, it has been given unto us from generations that have gone on before. And it's our responsibility not to sell out. Amen? It's our responsibility to stand firm as Naboth did here. You see, beloved, even more precious than the vineyard that Naboth had, the Lord's church was purchased with our Savior's precious blood. There's no sweeter inheritance than that. In Matthew 16, 18, right, just to confirm and reiterate here what we're talking about this morning, about the Lord's church being precious. Matthew 16, 18, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter." The Lord says to the man Peter, you're Peter. And he says, well, let me read it. "And upon this rock," so he pointed somewhere other than Peter, amen? "Not built upon you, Peter, you're Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15 it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Amen. We are in the pillar and the ground of the truth. Beloved, when we stop to think about what we have, when we think about what we have, the Word of God, old-fashioned preaching, Spirit-filled worship, holy living, it's easy to see that we've been given a precious possession. We have a fantastic inheritance this morning. Amen? Such as Naboth did. And it should be appealing to even a king or a president or a mayor that would want to come in and see this beautiful possession. Secondly, in our first part of Naboth and his obligation, we see that Naboth's profession. Naboth worked his vineyard. He raised grapes to provide a living for himself and his family. And as I've already mentioned, he must have done a pretty good job in maintaining the vineyard because he caught the eye of the king. So, just, you know, picture it, right? Ahab's passing by in his chariot, you know, whatever, right? He's passing by in his chariot, he's looking over this vineyard, and it obviously caught the eye of the king. So it had to have been pretty well maintained, right? Naboth worked in that inheritance, right? It was well tended, luxurious vines loaded with grapes. It was evident, that you can see where this is going to go, it is evident that Naboth spent some time taking care of what he's been given. Spiritual application. We need to take advantage of what we've been given. We need to take advantage of what we've been given. Don't take services like this for granted. Right? Be here. Be involved. Taking care of the Lord's business. And thank our Almighty God for your Bible, for the church the Lord has placed you in, for your pastor, and for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you're here and saved by the grace of God today, thank the Lord for your salvation. Amen. Thank the Lord for your salvation. Learn to worship God and praise Him for all He has given you. Like Naboth, we have an obligation to take what has been given and make it the best that we can for the glory of God. Not for my glory, not for Brother Ross's glory, but for God's glory. For those that have passed down this inheritance to us. Again, but even more than that, for the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed. May we continue in the work of the Lord. As we think about Naboth's obligation, we've seen his possession, his profession, and now we see his protection of the vineyard. As Naboth tilled and worked the land, he knew that in reality, he was a caretaker of the land. Well, the land was his at the present time, but not for long. You see, he had to work it. More importantly, he had to protect it. He had the responsibility of making sure that that land would be handed down to his children and their children from generation to generation. He had to protect it. He had to protect it. Naboth was just one man in the link of the chain of God's will and blessing upon this vineyard. And if Naboth failed in his generation... Now, we know God is sovereign and He's able to overrule all this, but I'm just saying like a logical mindset, right? So follow me here. If Naboth failed in his generation, then the next generation would have nothing to inherit and they would have nothing to pass on. Naboth had been charged with protecting what he had been given. Again, here we are, my generation, and I'm not a millennial, just want to throw that out there. People say you are, anyway, but my generation, we'll just say that, has been given a wonderful spiritual heritage. Listen, when I tell people I pastor a church at the age that I am, they're like, what do you do for the young people, right? You probably all hear it though. Well, I do the same thing for them I do for the older people. I preach the word. You do what? I preach the word. What is that? The Bible! I preach the Bible! Now what appeal... the Lord saved me back in 1999, so that you all do that math a while ago. Outside of God, what appeal would it be for a 19-year-old boy to go to a Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist Church? Outside of the Lord. But thank God for men like Brother Willard Pyle, who was preaching the truth down at Naples Park Baptist Church. Right? So that now I am able to, by God's grace, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm nothing more, nothing less. And trust me, I know I could do a whole lot more for the Lord. But I only am what I am by the grace of God, and I praise God that He has given me a responsibility to pass down this spiritual heritage to my children and protect it at the church that the Lord allows me to pastor. We have been charged, beloved, of protecting things like the Word of God. For protecting things like Spirit-filled worship, for old-fashioned praise and worship, for God-honoring music, for holiness and separation, so that we can pass them down to the next generation. And listen, it's not too early for you to step up, children or adults, to take over the vineyard today. Get in there. Get to work. Get to work, protect it, preserve it, so that the next generation will have something godly to inherit. I've even got some scripture for that. You ready? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same shall commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." That's a great pattern right there. Here, what you've heard of me, what you've learned of me, Timothy, you go and you teach that to faithful men who then will go and teach others. That sounds like passing down some godly heritage to me. Also in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12. Good, I was getting tired of shouting over that air conditioner. I was afraid y'all weren't going to hear me. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That sounds like a generation that's passed some stuff on before. Don't believe me? Read chapter 11. Right? "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Amen. And here's how. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." That's what we got to do. You pick up that baton and you carry on looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All right. So Naboth had an obligation. Secondly, Naboth had an opportunity given to him. In verse 2 of our text in 1 Kings 21, it says, "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Naboth had an opportunity. So again, one day I visualized Naboth out working in his vineyard, and he had a visitor. King Ahab comes over from the palace with an offer for Naboth. He wants to buy Naboth's vineyard. Well, let's walk through the king's offer and learn that opportunities are not always what they appear to be. We see that it was a royal opportunity. This offer came from King Ahab himself. Who could refuse such an offer? I mean, after all, the king held a lot of power and had a lot of influence, and people typically did what the king requested. It would be as if our president were to come to 11189 Tucker Road in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and say, "I want your land." You'd be like, "Wow, man, the president wants my land." That's the equivalent of what the offer was. The president says, "Listen, I will give you something better than you have now." And I could be thinking, "Man, I tell you what, we don't have an AC unit right now. Some of our floors are cracking a little bit. We only have like a half an acre. Maybe the president's willing to give me more than that. Man, that sounds pretty good." Right? We can rationalize things pretty easily when it's somebody of such high authority. He even says, "Listen, I will give you money." It don't matter what generation you're in, unfortunately, money talks. Right? So Naboth had this opportunity presented to him. And it was reasonable. So it was a royal opportunity from the king, and it was a reasonable opportunity. You see, the offer would have given Naboth opportunity to better himself. He would have been given a better piece of land. Or he could have named the price, and it sounds like the king would have given it to him. "Name your price." He'd give him cash money for that property. Most folks, as I said, would have leaped on an offer like this. It would have pleased the king. It would have brought profit to Naboth. It would have probably made his family more comfortable. But you know what? It was a repugnant opportunity. Ahab wanted that land But he wasn't going to maintain it like Naboth did. Spiritual application. Listen, young and old here this morning. You're going to receive a lot of offers in your life. Young ladies, from a guy who says, if you loved me, you would do this. But you're not for sale. You're not for sale. To so-called friends, remember I said earlier, you know, in the message I said our friends and all these things, right? Our friends may say, come on, everyone else is doing it. You tell them you're not for sale. You see, everything that looks like an opportunity and may look really good isn't always the case. So let me tell you this morning, don't sell out regardless of who's doing the asking. Someone who asks you to do anything that violates the Word of God is not your friend. Choose the people you hang out with very carefully. Yeah, I'm all up in my children's kids' business, and I am not ashamed to admit it. I think I know every one of their friends. I'm not ashamed of that. Because I have a responsibility to protect the heritage and the vineyard. Oh, but Brother Justin, they're going to rebel on you, I'll tell you what. Well, I could get really going here, but I'll behave. But you know what? That rod does a whole lot of the things when you're raising them up when they're younger. Let me just tell you. Okay? Don't sell out. If you're here and you are a younger child, middle-aged, all those brackets that I've given you, you know this statement as well as any. Peer pressure is powerful. I don't care who you are. If you work, if you have a profession, if you have friends, peer pressure does some weird things. I don't like heights. Let's get on that roller coaster. I don't want to go on the roller coaster. No, come on, go on the roller coaster. We're all going on the roller coaster. Okay, I'm going on the roller coaster. Right? I mean, that's a very simple illustration to show you the power of peer pressure. Right? That is nothing in comparison to what Naboth had going on here, but I'm just trying to paint the picture here. Right? Don't sell out to please the crowd. Remember, listen, you're going to like this. Write this one down. Remember, until you do it, not everybody is. Amen? You like that? So not everybody is if you are not selling out. That's an awesome, I just think that's awesome. Don't sell out. It's better to stand alone than it is to stand in the crowd. Yeah, you know the lies of the devil. If you drink this beer, you won't go to hell. If you smoke this weed, you're not necessarily going to go to hell. Don't sell out. Girls and boys, continue to stand strong. Dress modestly. Because that old devil will try to take you away. Your adversary, the devil, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not as a little kitten, but as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. These opportunities, such as Naboth had, are real. And they're in our everyday life. And I believe in the sovereignty of God as much as anyone in this room. But I want to tell you, by the authority of the Word of God in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, you will reap what you sow. And every decision you make has consequences, some short-term, some lifelong. He was a preacher, some of you may know him, I won't mention his name. He was preaching a message out there in Idaho. And he said that he smoked for most of his life, and the Lord convicted him of that. He doesn't smoke anymore. And he was getting insurance, and the insurance person said, have you ever smoked? And he said, yes. She said, well, we'll have to charge you more. He said, that's fair. He said the insurance agent was like, what do you mean that's fair? I did that to myself. That's the decision I made. So he said it was fair for him to have to pay a little more than somebody that didn't make the decision to smoke. Don't sell out. Don't forget that the world, the flesh, and the devil are trying to destroy your heritage. If they have their way in your life, they will take everything you've been given and leave you with nothing. The devil seeks to destroy. He's a taker. The devil's not a giver. He's not a giver. All right, thirdly and finally, and four minutes, maybe four, sounds good. He didn't say no. Naboth and his obedience, verse 3. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto me." Naboth hears the offer and refuses. And his refusal reveals a lot of the character about him. You see, it revealed that he knew the word of God. Naboth said, "The Lord forbid me it," or "The Lord forbid it me." He told Ahab that he could not sell the vineyard because God forbidden it. And God had, back in Leviticus chapter 25, you read about it. God had forbidden that that piece of land would be sold. In fact, the word of God stated that the king was forbidden from buying an inheritance from the people. And so Naboth said, "Not for sale." Beloved, his allegiance was to God. It's a beautiful thing. You see, I encourage all of us to find out what God says about a matter and walk in His will. And when you walk in the will of the Lord, you will not go wrong. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, secondly, in his obedience, the will of the Father, this land had been Naboth's family for generations. If he sold it, there would be nothing for his children. He said, "Not for sale." You see, people in my generation are selling out. They're taking the offers of the world, of the flesh, and the devil. They're changing their methods and watering down the message and leaving the old path for the new path. They're selling out. But there are still a few faithful men of God refusing to sell the farm, to sell the vineyard. Praise God. There are still a few preaching against sin and calling sinners to repent and trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing their ground for the Lord. And praise God. And let me challenge you to be thankful for this heritage you've been given. Be thankful for those who faithfully tend the vineyard so that you might have a future in the Lord. Commit yourself to taking up the task of laboring in the Father's vineyard. It's easy to sit back and take the offer, but there's a time when we need to say, "Not for sale." Naboth said, "I will never sell what I have to you." He's not selling. So regardless of who wants what you have, they are not worthy to take it. Don't sell out. Not for sale. You see, someone has said every man has his price. How many times have you heard that, right? Money talks. The statement implies that everyone comes to the place where they will sell what they have if the price is right. What's your price? How much is your purity worth? What's your price? Some have sold it cheap. They've given their purity to a pretty girl or a pretty boy who said, "I love you." But by the way, your purity doesn't even belong to you. Your purity belongs to your future mate and no one else. Not for sale. Stay pure. Don't give in. How much is your innocence worth? Some have sold their innocence dirt cheap. They've given their innocence away to the internet or to the movies or to pornography. Don't sell. Not for sale. How much is your mind worth? Some have sold their minds for nearly nothing. They filled it with language and images of the world. Not for sale. How much is your testimony worth? Some have sold it for bargain basement prices. They've sold it to keep a friend. They've sold it to impress others. They've sold it to fit in. Don't sell. Not for sale. Not for sale. Stand firm. Very quickly, I wish I could tell you that Naboth's story had a happy ending because he said not for sale and he refused to sell the farm. Ahab's wife Jezreel had Naboth arrested on false charges and Naboth was stoned to death in verse 13. Okay, of the same chapter. I wish the story ended on a happier note, but that's how it ends. The Bible tells us the truth. Right? So if you refuse to take the deals offered to those by the world and the crowd, you might be made fun of. You might be laughed at. You might miss out on a few of those experiences. But I'll tell you something right now. You'll be the winner in the end if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your only and all-sufficient Savior. You will be the winner. Right? So, the winner was Naboth. Right? He maintained his integrity. He passed on that generation. He may have died, but he went on to be with the Lord. So, don't sell out. Tell him not for sale. I thank you all for your attention to the Word of God, and may God use the Word and add the blessing to it. Brother.
Appreciate it, brother. Oh, yeah. Oh, Billy.
Wow. Man, that's powerful.